Father in heaven, we again thank you for your love and your grace that we can experience. And Father, thank you for this opportunity to be here. And Father, I know that in your sovereignty, you have something to speak to each person here. It doesn't matter who we are, how old we are, there's something that you have for us. And so I pray, Father, that that would happen this morning as Jonah speaks, that he could simply be a spokesperson for the things that are on your heart, that he could speak them with clarity and truth, and Father, that we could not only hear and receive, but Father, we could also apply. And so I pray a blessing on Jonah this morning as he shares, and just for our anointing on this time as well. In Jesus' name, amen.
Bless you,
Jonas. Thank you, Brother Dale. God bless you this morning. It's an honor to be here and be part of this. What the Spirit of God is doing here. As I was praying for this morning, God was showing me, and I was here a month or two ago. God was showing me that there is a spiritual growth that is taking place right here. And that he's doing something in this assembly that is causing his presence, his love, his ways. It's what I'm seeing is more maturity coming forth in the assembly. And as I was looking at the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jesus Christ is the same Spirit here in your hearts as it is in our home assembly where we gather with. The same Spirit, I can feel it. If we were to gather with a group of non-Christians or other religions, it would feel different. But wherever we find the Spirit of God, there it is the same Spirit. The same Spirit of Jesus is in this assembly as is in our assembly back home, and I can feel it. I was looking at the idea of our understanding. Our understanding, when we come to Christ, is we get an understanding of God, right? We get an understanding of who Jesus is, who the Holy Spirit is. As we continue on our journey, our understanding begins to grow. Right? Our understanding begins to grow. And so there may be questions in our life along our journey that we don't understand yet. And there may be things out here that we don't understand in the capacity of our current understanding. And so we start praying and talking to God, and we have questions for God, and we don't understand everything. So we want to know more, so God begins to grow our understanding, so that it begins to encompass the questions that we have in our heart. And there is no limit. I am learning. There's no limit to the understanding that God has available for those who seek Him. Our understanding just continues to grow and grow and grow. We might think we know a lot, but the more we walk with God, the more I see that we don't know everything. There's a whole lot more that God wants to do with us than we may know, if we're open to the more that God has for us. I'll talk about the Holy Spirit this morning. Who is the Holy Spirit? What is the Holy Spirit, and what does He do? We know about God the Father, right? God the Father created the universe, the great I Am. We know about Jesus Christ, the Son, came in the flesh, became the Word in human form. Who is the Holy Spirit? Who is the Holy? Is the Holy Spirit a being? Is the Holy Spirit a person? Or is the Holy Spirit just a spirit? Or is it just spiritual? Or what is the Holy Spirit? Where is the Holy? What is the work of the Holy Spirit? What does He do? Is it a He or what is the Holy Spirit? Is it a person? I believe it's God the Father, Jesus Christ, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I believe the Holy Spirit is a person. I believe He encompasses the whole earth. In every person's heart that wants to seek after God, He is right there. What does the Holy Spirit do? Jesus said in John chapter 15, 26, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. Here Jesus calls him he. He, the Holy Spirit, comes from the Father, and he is going to testify of me, and he's going to bring us unto remembrance all truth. He is a Spirit of truth, and he is a comforter. He comforts us. So when we talk to God, and we hear from God, the Holy Spirit is the one that speaks to us and the one that makes known the things of the Father to us. Does that make sense? The Holy Spirit makes known the things of the Father. And we begin, do we believe that we can hear the Holy Spirit? We can hear God. Do we believe that we can hear the words from God? Some of us may have a say, well, I don't know if I'm always hearing from God, but as we walk with God, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, right? My sheep, if we are sheep, then we do hear his voice and we know things about him. The Holy Spirit was probably first fully recognized in most of its greater power and authority was on the day of Pentecost. By the believers, the Holy Spirit, they were pressing in with God. They were gathered together for, 10 days? 10 days, I think they were gathered together. I don't know what they were talking about, but on that day, that something happened that came on them so powerfully. There was such a powerful presence of God that they could literally see tongues of fire on top of everybody's head. That's how powerful the Holy Spirit was. The wind blew through the house. It's like the house was shaken and the power of God was upon them so strong, they began to speak in other tongues. Tongues they didn't know they had. They were speaking in other tongues and praising God. It was such a powerful presence of the Holy Spirit came into every single one of them, 120 of them. And it says there was tongues of fire on each one of their heads. There is another place in Acts chapter 10 where Cornelius was from an Italian band, Italian from Rome, and he was a centurion, meaning he was over 100 people, and he was not a Jew, but he prayed to God and he gave alms, and he was fasting. I think he was fasting for some time, and an angel came to him and told him about sending people, that he's going to send Peter to his house to go fetch Peter. And when Peter came into his house, Peter started preaching Jesus Christ to them, Cornelius' whole house. He started preaching Christ to them, and the Holy Spirit came in power upon everyone. Doesn't say tongues of fire, but it came on, and the very same thing that they experienced in the upper room on the day of Pentecost happened here in Cornelius' house. The power of God came down so strong, the Holy Spirit, that they began to speak in tongues and started praising God. And Peter saw this and says, wow, this is God. This is Jesus Christ. This is the Holy Spirit. This is the very same thing that we experienced back there. God must be accepting these Gentiles, non-Jews. God must be accepting them too. What, we may as well baptize them into Jesus Christ. What hinders us from baptizing them? And so the very same thing happened there. This kind of thing happened all over when believers came to God and believed on Jesus Christ. There was a baptism of the Holy Ghost that came upon them where they were filled with the Holy Spirit. There is in Acts chapter 4 where they gathered together again and they were saying, God, we want more boldness. This is awesome. They went out preaching and speaking in tongues and preaching in tongues, and people heard them from all, understood them from all kinds of languages, and they're saying, God, this is awesome. Give us more boldness. And so they gathered again, and they prayed to God and asked him for more boldness, and the Spirit of God came upon them again, and the house was shaken, And the Spirit of God came upon them and gave them boldness. Here's the scriptures, Acts chapter 4, 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. When the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, comes upon us, it changes us. And he fills us, and he empowers us, and he gives us a holy boldness that we otherwise wouldn't have if we ask him for it. There's another place in Acts 18 where Philip was going. He went down to Samaria. Philip was doing a work of an evangelist. He went down to Samaria, and he started preaching the gospel. And people got born again. They turned to Jesus. They repented of their ways. And he baptized them. And there they were. And when the apostles in Jerusalem heard what was happening in Samaria, they sent Peter and John down to Samaria. And when Peter and John came to Samaria, they laid their hands on their heads, and they received the Holy Spirit. Said they laid their hands on them, and the Holy Spirit came on them. Because it says that he had not yet come. They believed on Jesus. They were baptized into Jesus in water, and they needed an infilling of the Holy Spirit, which came by the laying on of hands. I had a personal testimony, a witness, you were saying. We witness. How can we preach what we haven't experienced or witnessed? But if we have experienced and witnessed something, we can talk about it in the truth. I was born again back in the late 90s. And in 2010, I was listening to a set of DVDs with a friend of mine, a couple friends, and in there it talked about the baptism of the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues. And there's a desire that rose up in me for that. I said, it's in the Bible. Right there it is. And I have never experienced that. What is that? If that's from God, I want it. And so I told God in my heart, I told him, I want that. That's from you, I want it. And so that was my prayer. Lord, I want the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I want to speak in tongues. That's what you said. That's what you did. Apparently, I didn't experience the fullness of what you have available. 3 months later, I walk into a conference, two-day conference. And second day, there's about six men up front, and they are ministering. Whoever wants to come up here, we will prophesy over you, we'll pray over you, and we will minister to you. And I went up, and they prayed over me and prophesied, and they broke some stuff off of my life. Like I felt like shame and condemnation. They prayed, I break off the power of shame and condemnation. For me, that was a struggle. And that broke off of my spirit. I literally felt the weight of it lift off my spirit, and my spirit opened up and felt freer than I've ever felt before. And it never, ever came back again. Never. Amen. I do not struggle or battle with shame or condemnation, since it has no power over me. Amen. None. I felt a powerful presence of God like I've never felt before. It was all over me. Later, about probably 15 minutes later or so, we were praying for someone else that they brought up in the front, and we were reaching our hands out, and we were praying for them. It was a 9-year-old girl that had some disease, and we were praying. I was back in my row, and we stood up, and I was praying, and what is that coming out of my mouth? And it dawned on me that was the gift of tongues. It was the Holy Spirit that was flowing through my prayer. We prayed probably for about 15, 20 minutes. And it was so powerful, I will never forget the moment. I will never forget it. It was probably one of my most powerful experiences in the Spirit, other than getting saved, when I gave my life to Christ. And it was something that was like, what? This is so awesome. And it was so much God. And I looked at that, and I probably didn't speak in tongues for about another half of a year later. So we were with a group of men, mature men of God. We were over in Israel, and we were praying over the city Jerusalem. We're standing on a mountain looking down over the city Jerusalem, and the whole group was there. And it was, I felt like the presence of God so strong, it began to come again. It just flowed out of me. Not long after that, I heard a teaching about speaking in tongues as a regular prayer language. A regular prayer language to God. And I began to do this regularly. And what happens when we pray in the Spirit, we pray in tongues and talk to God, it begins to build an edifice inside us that houses an anointing that God wants to use us for. Okay, so it edifies us. Is it speaking in tongues? Edifies the person speaking in tongues. It edifies our spirit man. Our spirit man begins to grow, and it makes room for the Holy Spirit to release an anointing into our life that will cause us to move forward in power and authority. It will enable us to move forward in power and authority, building ourselves up in our most holy faith, praying in the Spirit. In the book of Jude, he talks about that. What are some of the hindrances that keep the Holy Spirit from coming? Why don't we see the power of the Holy Spirit? We do see the power of the Holy Spirit. We see people getting born again. We do see people coming to Christ. And we are making a difference. And you are making a difference here in this city. You are making a difference. And what you are doing here is not in vain. It's not in vain. It is worth it. What God is using you here for in the city is bringing forth fruit, and it will bring forth more fruit. It will produce more fruit. I declare it. I believe it. It will produce more fruit. And so I want to encourage you to keep pressing forward in the midst of the strongholds that are over this city. But most important is dealing with the strongholds inside ourselves. Because when we're endued with power from on high, it takes much less energy to accomplish something in the Spirit than it does when we're not. Does it make sense? When we're endued with power from on high, it takes much less effort to accomplish the purposes of God than it does when we're not. We can work for years and years, seemingly not breaking through. It's not in vain. But when we're filled with the Holy Ghost from power on high, we can tear down principalities and powers and begin to see all kinds of people getting saved. And not just getting saved, but also getting built up in Christ and staying faithful in their walk with Jesus. Some of the hindrances that we have seen over the years that block the release of the Holy Spirit. Some of the hindrances is like the spirit of religion. Spirit of religion hates the power of the Holy Spirit. There is like, they never agree. They will never be able to walk together. Spirit of religion and the power of the Holy Spirit. Spirit of religion says, I am more concerned about how it looks on the outside than I am on the inside. Spirit of religion says, let's do it right. Let's make it look right. And it doesn't deal with the pride on the inside. It doesn't deal with the self nature on the inside. It deals with, we can, in the spirit of religion, go out and do all kinds of good works for God. In fact, the spirit of religion can motivate us to do good works so we feel good about ourselves that we did some good works. But it doesn't change us on the inside. Pride is one where the spirit of religion can actually move in, is in the part of pride where there's a focus on self, a focus on I or a focus on who I am above others, or do I match up, or am I? It has a lot of focus on self. Pride compares myself with someone else. Pride says I'm more spiritual than someone else, or pride might even say that I'm less worthy than others. And I'm so focused on inward self about myself that it hinders the work of the Spirit from coming in and empowering us. So we start recognize this is very easy to get rid of pride. We just humble ourselves and repent for pride. It's like, Lord, I repent for this pride. I humble myself. The Bible says that God will lift, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. He lifts up those who humble themselves, but he resists those who have pride and lift themselves up. Intellectualism is another one that hinders the powerful flow of the Holy Spirit. Intellectualism is something that we believe that we want to control with our mind and our own understanding and our own knowledge and our own education and our own wisdom and the things that we think that we know, that we know it, that what we know because of what we've learned and what we've studied, that is how we know. And so we know, we think we know everything, and we think we know a lot. And this knowing, thinking that we know, hinders the Holy Spirit. The mind and the will and their emotions are part of the soul. So the soul, we need to take our soul and submit it to the Spirit. Our soul needs to be submitted to the Spirit. And when our soul, our mind, God gave us our mind, it's good, needs to be renewed by the washing of the water by the Word. When our mind, we submit our mind to the Spirit. Many people have their mind on the top and their intellectual thing and think that they know what they know what they know. They think they know, and out of this, their noggin. The Bible says in trusting God with all your heart and lean not onto your own noggin. Lean not onto your own understanding, right? Lean not onto the wisdom of your own brain. Your own thing that you think you understand. We need to lean upon Him. Trust in Him. And lean not onto your own understanding. This leaning onto your own understanding is a hindrance to the powerful release of the Holy Spirit. And when we can do that, we can humble ourselves. God, you know best. Every man's a liar. Let God be true, but every man a liar. Let God be true, and every man a liar. So if God is true, we say, God, you are true. Your Spirit lives in me. When we become born again, our spirit becomes one spirit with who? God. Our spirit becomes one spirit with Almighty God. And we become one with Him. And when we submit our soul to the Spirit of God and the Spirit with it, our spirit, when we submit our soul to the Spirit, we can flow in the Spirit. And the Spirit gives us direction. The Spirit washes our mind. The Spirit washes our intellect. And then our intellect can be used for the glory of God. Amen? When we have it turned around and we use our intellect and trust in that, it doesn't produce the same thing as when it's submitted to God and it gets used for the glory of God. There is things like witchcraft, things like wanting to be in control of things that hinder the Holy Spirit, wanting to control it the way that I want it to go. There is a certain level of that we have to loose and release and let go of our desire to be in control in order to let the Holy Spirit be in control. And He does things different than what we would want, than what we would do it, than what our mind would do it. Until we start flowing in Him and get used to how He works, we start flowing and sensing and being familiar with how the Holy Spirit flows. Unforgiveness will hinder the Holy Spirit, and fear of the Holy Spirit. Fear of the Holy Spirit will keep us. If we have a fear of the Holy Spirit, it's almost like we're doing this to the Holy Spirit. I'm afraid of what the Holy Spirit would make me do. I'm afraid of what God would really make me do. I'm afraid what he would ask me to do. I'm afraid of how he would make me look in front of my friends. I'm afraid of what he would ask me to do. It's very simple to break it. We just repent. Lord, I repent for fearing the Holy Spirit. I renounce fear and I put it under the blood. Lord, I open myself up to you and I'm willing to submit to everything that you have. And there's a thing in us that wants to look good in the eyes of men. That we would prefer honor among men rather than honor from God. That is a hindrance to allowing God to work through us. When we love the honor and we love the acceptance and we love the approval of other men rather than the honor, acceptance, and approval of God. And when we can get to that place and say, Lord, I repent for desiring honor from men and desiring to be approved and accepted from men more than being accepted and approved of God. When we repent of that, it breaks something down and we open ourselves up. God, I want all of you. I want all of you. I want what is honorable for you. And I want to make you more important than honor from men. And these are things, if we can break through them, will open the door for us to receive the Holy Spirit in a new measure, in a new way that we may not have been walking in before. There is a more of God that is awesome. And many people never experience the more of God because they are not aware of the more of God that's available. The more of God that we experience, it gets more and more awesome in the Spirit. It's like having a love affair with Jesus himself. And it's awesome. There is those that Jesus said as he goes and scatters the seed along the road, along the way. And some fall on the wayside, some fall on stony ground, and some the thorns come up. But some fall on good soil. And some will produce 30-fold, some will produce 60-fold, and some will produce 100-fold. And as I look at the body of Christ, they are the good soil Jesus was talking about. And within the body of Christ, there are some producing 30-fold, there are some producing 60-fold, and there are some producing 100-fold. The 30-fold... seemingly be content with just getting born again. I got into the kingdom. I am saved by Jesus Christ. I am doing works that pleasing to the Lord. There are in the body of Christ those who are pressing in for more. I want more of you, God. I want the truth. I'm going to press in and see, what does this mean? I do not understand what this means. God, give me understanding. I want to understand this. And so God begins to grow our understanding. And he takes us deeper and he says, there's some things in your life I need to deal with. Lord, I'm willing to deal with this stuff in my life because I want more of you. And so God starts to deal with the stuff in our life, and it's not pleasant. It's not pleasant when we have to look at some of the filth in our life, deal with some of this trash in our soul, deal with some of the religion, deal with some pride, deal with fear, deal with bitterness or anger, unforgiveness. I thought I forgave everyone and I'm clear with everybody. But way back here, there's somebody that you're holding an issue with and you can get along with him, but you really don't like him because you're holding this thing way down deep in your heart. You need to let it go. And so we just let that go. We release it and forgive. And as we dig down for truth and we let God deal with the deeper things in our heart, we begin producing 60-fold. We become 60-fold production. Jesus calls it pruning. He says, what produces life? I'm going to prune it so that it produces more life. The pruning is not a pleasant thing, but when we go through the pruning and we embrace it and allow him to trim the things that are not producing so that it produces more, trim the things that are producing so that it produces more, so it has room to grow more. Then there's the hundredfold. It says there are some that will produce a hundredfold. What does that mean? As I observe and look around, I see that there are some people that are sold out to God 100%, squeezed by every pressure of life, and just totally squeezed through pressures. Some of them have been to jail. Some of them have been persecuted for their faith. Some of the people coming out of persecution are so sold out for God, and there is no fear in them of persecution or anything, and God just pours out their life. Their life is being poured out. God flows through them in such a powerful and a beautiful way. It doesn't take persecution in a country, persecuted countries, in order to produce a hundredfold. I'm convinced if we want to go to the hundredfold place where God wants us to go, where God has us, we simply say, God, I want to produce a hundredfold for you, and I'm willing to go where it takes to do it. I'm willing to go there. And when we are willing to go there, the journey is not guaranteed to be easy. The things we have to walk through, release, and let go, not necessarily easy to let go. But if we are going for the gold, like a runner runs through a race, and he runs for the prize, and he wants that prize, and he's got an eye on that prize. It's the prize of going for the gold. Jesus Christ, the crown of glory, the walking with God, the production of a hundredfold that we want to release, we want to have God flow through us, Jesus Christ flow through us, well worth, way more worth, by far greater worth, eternal glory, immortal, for everlasting things that we can walk after that are far more worth than a literal, physical, mortal crown of glory that will fade away with time and the perishing. So we go after that thing which is of the deeper glory. I'm going to go through this yet. Concerning spirituals. Corinthians chapter 12. Concerning spiritual things. Concerning spiritual gifts. Paul says there, now I would not have you ignorant of spiritual gifts. Now concerning spiritual gifts, I would not have you ignorant. 1 Corinthians 12 verse 1. Concerning spiritual gifts, I would not have you ignorant. Everybody turn to your neighbor and say, I would not have you ignorant. Amen. We would not have each other ignorant concerning spiritual gifts. In the Greek word, there in the Greek, and I looked this up. I heard a message on it. I looked it up just to verify if the guy was right. And it was. The Greek word, it's just one word, spiritual gifts. Concerning spiritual gifts. It's called pneumatikos. Pneumatikos. It means things of the spirit. It means a spiritual force or a spiritual things that flow through us. The King James, when they interpreted it, there was one word, and they could just put spirituals, so they said spiritual gifts. So they interpreted it as spiritual gifts. It's a spiritual part of God flowing through us. And what Paul's talking about here in chapter 12 is that there are different manifestations of the Spirit in different people. But it's the same Spirit. It's the same Spirit that works these things through us. Then there are diversities, where he says there are diversities of gifts. A little later in the chapter says there are diversities of gifts. Then I looked up the word gifts, and in this one it says charisma. There are diversities of charisma. If you look up the Greek word for gifts in that particular context, there are diversities of gifts. It says there are diversities of charisma. And it could be translated charismatic or charisma or charismata. It's all kind of the same thing. And so that is why some of the modern day charismatics is why people call them, oh, they're charismatic, because they got all that charisma going on. And that stuff is bad, you know, because their life doesn't look right and because they do those goofy things. When we take away the goofy things and we take away the stuff that's not lined up with God, what is it that is God? What is the charisma that God wants to flow through us? What kind of working of the Holy Spirit charisma does he want? The gifts, does he want to flow through us? There's a list there that he says. One is faith. The power of faith. Faith. We heard his story on faith. Laying your hands on the transmission and calling forth the transmission to her. That's faith. And it's also a miracle. It's also a miracle. You have faith to produce a miracle. God, the power of God flowing through produces. But that wouldn't happen if you wouldn't have the faith to do it. If you don't step out in faith to do it, it wouldn't happen. So there's a co-laboring of who God is and who he made man to be, that he's united in the Spirit to co-labor together to produce miracles. Without his power, we can do nothing. We can't even have faith without his power. But with his power and with his presence, we can have faith and we can move forward in faith and we can produce miracles by his power. What comes out of our mouth comes out by faith. There is healings. There is tongues. There is interpretation of tongues. There's words of knowledge, words of wisdom, discernment of spirits. There's 9 gifts that are mentioned there. Inside those gifts, in tongues, there are many different types of ways tongues can come out. Tongues can come out in our prayer to God in tongues. And says in 1 Corinthians 13, though you speak in tongue of men or angels and have not love or charity, it profiteth nothing. Men, tongues of men or angels. There is a tongues that is spoken in the angelic realm that angels understand. That when we start speaking in tongues, praying in tongues to God, it activates the angels to go out and answer that what we're praying for. It activates the spirit realm to begin to go into action to accomplish the prayer that we're calling out for. Sometimes we end up in a place of, how did I get here? Why am I involved in this? I don't know how I got here. I just know this is on my heart, and it's been on my heart, and I've been praying like this. And God says, yeah, you've been praying in tongues. Every time you're praying in tongues, you're praying this thing into existence. Now here I brought you to a place where you have solutions for what is needed. When there's a big rock to move, there's a big rock to move in the spirit realm. And I don't know how we're going to move this rock, but we're called to push on that rock and push on that. Rock's not moving, God. And God could say, I didn't call you to move it, just called you to push on it. While we're pushing on it, while we're praying in the spirit, while we're working forward, God builds up an edifice. God builds up our spirit, man. God, we are being built up and prepared for a time and a place and a season when we're going to be in a place where there will be solutions that we have for the problems that are going on. The problems that we were praying would be fixed. God will call us to be the solution for those problems. Are we willing? Are we willing? Whoever's willing, put your hand out and say, I'm willing. Yeah. I'm willing to be used by God to produce a solution, to provide solutions for the problems that I'm praying for. I am willing to be the solution, God. We might be looking for revival without recognizing that we are revival. Revival is in us. We are the revival. It says, where's the power of God? God says, I'm in you. I am the power. I'm with you. Bring it. Bring the power of God. Take me wherever you go. We bring the power of God where we go. We bring revival wherever we go. If we have revival in us, we bring revival to every situation we're in. And God will cause us to grow in our understanding and grow in our spiritual authority and grow in our capacity to make a difference, grow in our capacity to influence, grow our capacity to shift cities and towns and villages and nations for the glory of God, to bring the glory of God. He will use us, whoever's available, whoever says, I am willing, God. I am willing. I am willing. I'm going to bring it to a close here. I just want to encourage everyone that we would, if we have the gift of tongues, that we would use it. And we would pray and talk to God. And I personally believe that as the more we do that, the more we will get built up, the more we will have faith to move mountains, the more we will call into existence the very things that we are praying for. That we pray with our understanding, we pray in the spirit. First Corinthians 14 says we pray with our understanding and we pray in the spirit. And we pray. When we pray in the spirit, when we pray in tongues, there is something that I usually experience that begins to shift and push back. And God begins to open up revelation that I didn't have before. That is what I experience praying in tongues. Take some time. Go out alone. Go somewhere. Just pray to God in tongues. Talk to God. And let him come in like a mighty rushing wind. Or we could do it as a group. We could do it as a group. We could do it all together. Pray in tongues and let God come in and begin to produce revelation in us that we didn't have before. Revelation of him, revelation of his word. I think I'll close with a prayer. I'll close with a prayer. So whoever wants to kind of follow along in prayer, just open your hands and I'll just pray. And ask God, Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for the gift of Jesus Christ. We want to thank you for the work of the Holy Spirit. We want to thank you for sending to us the Holy Spirit. We thank you, God, for strengthening us, for giving us a greater understanding. We thank you, God, for your love for each one of us. We thank you for your love for the world. We thank you that you want to use us, and we open ourselves up to receive all that you have. God, we ask you to take us deeper into the things that you want to show us. Take us deeper into your love, deeper into your heart, deeper into the things of God. God, we ask you to use us, use this assembly right here to make a difference in Lancaster City. God, help us to break through. Give us the tools that we need to break through the strongholds that have been holding our people, the people here in bondage. Give us the power of the Holy Spirit to break through, God. We're asking for a breakthrough in this city. Lord, we're wanting to see people raised up that are sold out to you and are faithful in their walk and their journey, and that the work multiplies by the people in the city. God, you will use the city people. God, I'm asking you for children that will walk faithfully in the ways of God. I'm asking for tools to break the powers of hell off of their life, Lord, and to help them build up and to make a difference in their generation. Lord, however you want to use us to accomplish these things that are on your heart. God, accomplish these things that are on your heart for our own lives, for the people that you've called us to, and for the place you want us to go, God. We're asking you for the more that you have available in Jesus' name. Amen.